All right, good morning, Life Church. How are you today? Are you ready for the Word? You say it all in unison, it's so funny. Yes. Would you welcome everybody watching right now online? Good morning, God bless you. Wherever you are, around the world, around the country, so excited to have you with us in church today. Grab your Bibles if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Today, I have a sermon that's just kind of an isolated sermon. I'm titling it, Bring It. And I want to talk to you about water baptism. This is one of these messages. I really felt impressed of the Lord to deal with it, help paint a picture for some of us who've been baptized maybe a long time ago. Maybe you've never been water baptized. And so here's what I want to encourage you. First of all, how many of you have been baptized in water at some point in your life? Great. Next week, if you'd like to do that again, or if you've never been baptized, we're going to have a baptism service during church. So you can contact the church office this week, or just show up about 15 minutes before service and come here to the front rows on this side, and they will take care of the class and kind of prepare you. Make sure you bring something to wear that you can be baptized in, which would be great. That would help, okay? We want to talk about, and the reason I say maybe you want to do this again is sometimes revelation grows in our lives, and sometimes we get baptized maybe when we were young, and we didn't understand what was happening. And the Lord uses it again later in life when it really speaks volumes to what it is Jesus did in our lives. And today I want to talk to you about the idea of baptism predominantly. We don't preach, some of you I know come from different traditional religious backgrounds, and they have different ceremonies and sacraments and things like that. And for us, water baptism is not what saves us. We don't personally preach that a person is saved by being water baptized. We believe that a person is forgiven of their sins and made right with God because of faith and belief in Jesus Christ alone. And then we believe that baptism now is a declaration. It's a proclamation, a public testimony of what the Lord has already done in the Spirit. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, to talk to you about what the Lord has already done in the Spirit. You know, when in the early church, when people would get baptized, it was the public testimony to their friends, to their neighbors, I believe even to the spiritual realm itself, to the enemy saying, I'm not who I was, I am new. And so, but it's an outward proclamation, but the work was already done on the inside. We don't believe salvation is contingent on believing in Jesus and something else, to where it's put your faith in Jesus, oh, and by the way, you need to be dunked. For us, you know, you can be on your deathbed in a hospital, cry out to Jesus, and your name is written in what we know to be the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can go to heaven. You can have eternal life, amen? And you don't have to hope somebody has water nearby before you go. You can be going down in an airplane crash, and you can give your life to Jesus, and you don't have to worry or hope that someone just, a glass of water miraculously falls on you to make sure that you've been baptized before that plane, or you hope the plane crashes in the ocean, you know what I mean? To make sure that you're baptized. You don't have to be worried about it. You see what I'm saying? You can cry out to Jesus, and he will save you. That's our belief, and that's what we preach. But we do believe that baptism testifies or illustrates a spiritual reality, and that's what I want to help you with. I remember my baptism. I was probably baptized in first or second grade. I was born and raised in Southern California, and we were going to a little Assembly of God church called Lighthouse Assembly of God. And I believe it was around the 4th of July time, so we're getting close to that period of time here ourselves on the calendar. And we used this big wooden watermelon tank. I remember it clearly because there were watermelons in it at one point, and then I was in it soon after. And so it was kind of, I just remember being baptized in a watermelon tank. And I just, maybe that's why I love watermelon. I don't know. Do you ever love a good watermelon? You know, a good watermelon changes your life, right? I don't know if you've ever been disappointed. I know this is a sidetrack, but it's meaningful to me. Have you ever bought a watermelon only to find out in great disappointment you accidentally bought a seeded watermelon? Yeah. And just, you're brokenhearted over it. You're just saying, I have to deal with all these seeds. And so that's why we have deliverance class throughout the summer, in case any of you need freedom from that emotional baggage. But anyways, Just read the label. Be careful to buy seedless. It's so much easier. Can I get an amen, a witness on that? Absolutely. Come on now. What was I saying? Right, baptism. That's what we're talking about today, baptism. So I remember my baptism. It was meaningful to me. But as I now understand more about who I am in Jesus and the transformation that took place when I gave my life to Jesus, now water baptism to me has a faith-building message in it. It's not a ceremony. It's actually something that helps me understand something. This is what I want to talk to you about today when we talk about bringing it. And when I say bringing it, we're talking about bringing it all in to our relationship and into that baptism in Jesus. The book of Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6, I'll share this with you on the screen today because I want you all to be on the same page with me, says this, the Apostle Paul writing, he says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? We were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him." Now, when I read this, I want you to see all the words that talk about a current reality, okay? "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also," I can add the word "planted," "in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man," or old person, "that which you were before Jesus, is crucified with him." Now remember, our baptism illustrates that crucifixion, being buried with him in his death, "that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. I am dead to sin, and sin is dead to me. The power of sin has no more authority over my life because I don't live that old sinful life that it had rights over. I have been buried. I've died with Christ. I've been buried with him. And now I'm planted in his new life. And so I don't have to serve sin. Sin can't boss me around." So let's talk about baptism for a moment. What is the idea of baptism in the word baptism? We use the baptism of immersion, and that's actually the Greek word. That's where we get it from. It wasn't that we just took pleasure in messing everybody's hair and makeup up as Pentecostals, all right? It's something that we follow as a pattern that we saw in the New Testament, and it's the word itself of baptism. It's baptisma, which is a noun that literally means to submerge, kind of like a submarine, to go underneath the water completely, to be completely submerged. And so I want to talk to us and illustrate some of this today. But when we give our lives to Jesus, and it's a great picture, remember, baptism is an illustration of what happens when we commit ourselves into Jesus. We're baptized into Jesus. The water itself is not what the Bible was excited about. It was the reality of what was happening to the believer. When you put your faith in Jesus, you are immersed, you are submerged, you are plunged beneath all of his life. All of your death is placed into all of his life. Is that understanding to you? And so that's why Christianity doesn't work when you put one foot in and one foot out. This is not immersion. This is not what Christianity was meant to be, where you have part of yourself in your old life, part of yourself in the deadness of the past, and part of yourself in the newness in life of the present. Are you understanding? This is not Christianity. This is not putting your faith in Jesus. This is not what Jesus paid for, where like you just dip your toe into Jesus, or you just bring certain parts of your life into Jesus. Real Bible-based Christianity and salvation is when you take all that you were, all of the muck, all of the dirt, all of the garbage, all of the good and all of the bad, and you place it all into Jesus' hands. You let yourself, who you were, be completely submerged into all that he is. Can we hear an amen on that? That's why sometimes people have no idea what real Christianity is, because they've never brought all of themselves in. They're still trying to live partially out there and partially in here. And you are not even living the vision that Jesus had on his mind when he was on the cross. You're miserable in your Christianity because it's some quasi-Christianity. It doesn't work. It's something you're making up. You understand? You may call it Christianity, but it's not Christianity. Christianity is bringing your old you, all of you, the good, the bad, the ugly, and you are immersed into all that Jesus is. And you let yourself sink deep down into the water, leaving nothing out. Can I get an amen on that? Absolutely. Go ahead, celebrate. That's fine. That's what we should see. That's what this was meant to proclaim. There's no hand sticking out. You're like, Jesus, you're going to have all of me, but this piece. And there's just like this hand sticking out. See what I'm saying? See? No, it's everything. It's all in. Bring it all in. Now, I would like you to see your baptism today as a position rather than an event. So many of us, in our minds, we see our baptism, like I just told you a minute ago, for myself, I was baptized in first or second grade in a watermelon tank. But that's not reality in the spirit. That's an event on a calendar that I look back to. But in the book of Romans, it's saying you were baptized into Christ. You were, now change the word, from an event to a position. You were immersed, you were submerged into Jesus. That is a current position, not a one-time event. That is your new address. That is your new identity. I am in Christ, and I am a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away. All things are new. I am in Christ. Don't get out. Never get out of the baptism. Amen. Never get out of the tank. You stay in this position that you are in Christ. Like, practically speaking, we know you have to get out of a normal water baptism tank because you'll get all pruny. You know, so in our brain, though, that's why we think of baptism like a ceremony or an event. Yep, I checked it off my religious list. I was baptized. But we forget that baptism was speaking of a spiritual reality, not an event, a tradition to be checked off to make sure you could go to heaven. Do you understand? It was the illustration was there so that you would know when you got into that water of baptism, it was, this is what Jesus did. You had to take that step of faith. You had to put both feet in. You had to surrender your life and let yourself go on under the water. It was never meant to be like a certificate that you get on the wall that says, on this date, I was baptized. Let me give you an illustration of the word baptism that it might help you make sense. Because when you see it like your current reality, and you see it like your address and your position, then you could begin to have faith in that identity. You can have faith in that position. Another word and another event that we talk about, which is actually a reality, is the idea of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? You can say, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit back in 1985, or you can say and should say, I am baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's a current reality and a current identity. Do you see how that works? So one thing to say, I spoke in tongues in 1985, but that doesn't give me faith for what I'm dealing with in 2016. That doesn't tell me who I am when an adversary of the enemy comes at me in 2016. But I can tell you this, I was baptized in 1985, and I am still baptized in 2016. And so if the enemy comes at me or the adversary comes at me, I am baptized, I am immersed in the Spirit and power. I'm not coming up out of that power to go try to deal with it on my own. I deal with whatever comes in my life in my position of being immersed in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you can celebrate that. See, the idea of baptism wasn't meant to be a ceremony and something celebrated as a bygone thing, but something to help you understand a current reality. Like I said, it's just the practicality of it that you couldn't stay in the baptism tank because you'd get all pruny. And the reality, though, is the vision was supposed to go with you. I have been planted in Jesus. I have been immersed in Christ. and the old me is buried and gone, and now this life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Amen. So we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I live in this baptism. The reason I bring the baptism of the Holy Spirit up is because I think it helps you apply leaning on that baptism to build faith for your current circumstance. When we face confusion, you know, mental confusion or needing wisdom or knowledge of something, I lean in on the fact that I am currently immersed in the Holy Spirit, and I say that I can draw a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge because I am baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I may face some sort of concern, but I'm not concerned because I am immersed in a greater ability for my current situation. And so the enemy may come in with an attack or a weapon might be fashioned against me, but it's not going to prosper. But it's not because I'm confident in me. It's confidence in the position in my baptism in the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in me and that I am in than he that is in the world. And so there's times in my life that the circumstances themselves, I can now confidently lean in on my current baptism in the Holy Spirit. I am a baptized, Holy Spirit-filled man, and that gives me confidence in financial situations, in times where I need wisdom, in times where I need faith, in times where I need to lay hold of a miracle for myself, my family, for you, for someone I'm praying for out in the street. I don't rely on me. I rely on the fact that it's not me. It looks like Jesus. I look like the Holy Spirit's fire because I am immersed in him, right? So I lean on that. That's what we're supposed to also do with our baptism in Christ, is to not look at it like I was baptized years ago, but something that I can lean on. You know, when I go through times where I sin and I fail, I can lean in on the fact that I am in Christ. Amen. I never got out of Christ. I never left. Amen. I stayed in the water. I kept myself in Christ. Amen. Or when something's coming at me, a Goliath is chanting and taunting, a giant is taunting me, I don't have to look and think, oh, Kevin has to take on that giant. No, I am immersed in Christ. So I look like Jesus to that giant. You see, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. You see, I've been baptized into Christ. Stop thinking about it like an event and start thinking about it like a current reality. I put on Christ. I was immersed into Christ. I completely let myself go into my baptism. You see what I'm saying? I put on Christ. And so when I stand in this place of immersion in Christ, to the devil, I look like Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? Because I was baptized into Christ and I put on Christ. So you don't look like a single mom who has no power or authority in this world. You don't look like a person who maybe wasn't born on the right side of the tracks, or you were the wrong nationality, or you don't have the amount of money or the education. In this world, so are we. As he is, the Bible says, so are we in this world. You look like the salt. You look like the light. You look like the body of Christ. Amen. Because you have put on Christ. You've been immersed into Christ. This is your identity. You're not known by heaven by what you once were. You're known by heaven of who you currently are. Come on, someone. Amen. It's time for you to let yourself be known, even in your own eyes. I am not what I was. I am who I am in Christ. Amen. And so that's your identity. That's who you are. This is a position. My baptism, my immersion into Jesus is a position, not an event, but a current reality. The second part of the message today that I'd like to talk about in the idea of baptism, when you think of baptisms in the Bible, and you think of the Jordan River, when John the Baptist was there and he was baptizing people in the water and they would be immersed and stuff. You think about the shoreline, you think about the water. And the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to me about this in particular topic, and he was ministering to my heart about the problem. And the problem is what we leave on the shore, not what we bring in. The way I like to say it is this: it's the stuff that we leave on the shoreline that ruins us, not the stuff we bring into the water. This is a temptation that a lot of people have. They'll come all in, but they still leave baggage on the shoreline. For some reason, I don't know if it's guilt, they don't want to talk about it, they don't want to address it, but I want to help you understand something. When you bring your stuff into the baptism, when you bring your stuff into Christ, you're honest about your past, you're honest about your sin, you're honest about your baggage, and you bring that baggage in. Nothing you bring into the water is going to ruin you. But anything you leave outside of the water will ruin you. Does that make sense? The water, your baptism into Christ, your relationship with Christ is strong enough to deal with any baggage that you may have on the shoreline. The question is, will you bring it in with you? See, sometimes we compartmentalize ourselves and we leave portions of our life outside of the baptism. We leave it on the shore. And that's the stuff that destroys us. I have some bags here to illustrate, you know, to help me, you know, illustrate this. Well, real quickly, before I get into the bags, let me show you that I'm not just making this up. This is actually biblical. We see examples of this. Open your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. There's a mass revival going on in the city of Samaria, and Philip, who is an evangelist, is just seeing God do tremendous things. He's seeing people who are practicing the occult getting saved. He's seeing all the different levels and stations of life, men and women, young and old, committing their lives to Christ. People are just crying out to God. And Philip is just seeing a mighty move of God. And the apostles in Jerusalem hear about it. And they send a few apostles out there now to get people filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit to kind of continue the revival that's going on there in Samaria. So verse 9, Acts chapter 8. Now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city. And he was astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. Now that's something that Simon deals with, is pride, wanting to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with magic arts. But when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, so here's a gentleman who believed the gospel and he was physically baptized, he continued on with Philip as he observed signs and great miracles taking place. He was constantly amazed. Verse 14. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this authority as well. I look at it back to his old man, saying, so that I may be great in their eyes again." That's my own translation. "So that everyone on whom I may lay hands on will receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God." See, now he's a professed believer and he's been through baptism, but there was stuff in his heart that he had not brought in to his baptism. "Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray that the Lord, if possible, the intentions of your heart may be forgiven. for I see that you are in the gall of bitterness, so there's bitterness in there that he didn't bring in, and the bondage of iniquity, and so there's certain issues going on in his heart that he didn't bring in. He kept them hidden. He kept them unexposed. He had not dealt with them. But Simon answered and said, pray that the Lord for me yourselves so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. Now, the disciples were there doing great things. Simon saw it, and he just some of this stuff that Simon never dealt with, he never brought it in to his faith in Christ. He never brought it and presented it to Jesus. He now is faced with those realities, and what are you going to do with them, you know, Simon? But the truth is, he believed the gospel. He went through baptism, but like many of us, now, guys, this is not a condemning statement. This is something where I don't know if Simon was aware that there was baggage in him that he didn't bring in, or was he ignorant of it, but in this moment, he was made aware there were parts of his attitudes, of his heart, of his inner self that he had not submitted and brought into subjection to his new Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Are you understanding what I just said? And that's where we're talking today about it's what you leave on the shoreline. If Simon wouldn't have dealt with his bitterness, it would have ruined him. That's what Peter was telling him. If you don't deal with your iniquities out there on the shore, if you don't bring them into your baptism, they will lead you astray. They will suck out the new life that Jesus has given you, and that will destroy you. Listen to what I said. It's not what you bring into the water that you should be afraid of. It's what you leave out of the water that you should be afraid of. Does that make sense? And so we deal with things. We all have sin from our past. We all have things. Now, sometimes people get afraid to bring their sins and reveal them to the Lord in their Christian life. And so we think we have to keep all that hidden. We think if we tell Jesus about our sin, that's when he finds out about it. And that's not true. When you confess your sin is not when the Lord finds out about it. He was there when you did it. When we confess that sin and we bring it into the water, into that baptism, say, Lord, will you take all of my dirt? Will you take all of my deficiencies, all of my guilt, all of my shame? You never have to be embarrassed about what you bring in the water. Amen. Yeah, you could celebrate that. See, the devil makes you think by not talking about it or addressing it that somehow that's protecting you and you're leaving it out here and you think to yourself, you know, well, that's not allowed in here. I'm telling you, that's one of the reasons the water is here. The water of Christ's salvation and of his forgiveness is greater than any dirt or stain you can bring in. It will always overcome this dirty stain. You never have to be afraid to bring things into the water with you. You should be concerned about what you leave outside of the water. That's why you must be honest with yourself of what sins I deal with. And so when you think to yourself, and maybe today is like Simon, you're being confronted with certain things. You know, yes, you believed in Jesus. Yes, you've gone through baptism. But yet there are certain sins you've never brought into your relationship with Jesus and say, Jesus, I deal with this. You try to ignore it and thinking, maybe if I ignore it, it'll just go away. And yet, think about it. Now you are in a position of great power over that sin because you are in Christ. See, now there's a sense of strength saying, I am in Christ. It's not me trying to deal with this sin. See, for some reason, sometimes people think that you need to deal with this sin out here and get rid of it in order to be allowed to come into the water to be a Christian in Christ. And what the Lord wants you to do is to bring all of yourself in here. That's like saying, I need to get well before I go see the doctor. You bring your sickness, you bring your hurt, you bring your pain, you bring your sin, you bring your junk, all of it into your reality and say, Jesus, this is me. I'm honest with what I'm dealing with. Will you help me? And you bring all of it in, and he now will help you overcome that. Amen. He's not asking you to do it on your own. There's other things like rejection and addiction. These are things Christians, you realize Christians can deal with things like rejection and things like addiction. And again, if you don't bring them into the water, they're going to ruin you some point in your Christianity. You might say, before I was a Christian, I dealt with rejection. My parents walked out on me. A spouse walked out on me. I was verbally abused by so-and-so. High school was hard on me. I have this rejection. But you know what? Now you're in Christ. Deal with the rejection. Don't ignore the rejection. You now, in your position in Christ, you can say, Lord, I give this rejection to you. That is not who I am. What they said I was is not who I am. I am who you say I am. I am in you. I am your child. I am your son. I am your daughter. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I am precious in your sight. I am an apple of your eye. I am a joint heir with Jesus. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because I took those feelings of rejection, I dealt with them by bringing them into my current relationship with Jesus rather than ignoring that they're there. Or addictions. Again, Christians, we are meant to bring our addictions before the Lord and say, Lord, this is reality. This is who I am. And you know what? The Lord is still going to accept you. And he's going to say, let's deal with those addictions. But hiding them and pretending they don't exist and being secretive about them, that's going to ruin you. Amen. Amen. The truth will make you free. Amen. Just a couple more. Oh, I'm losing one. That one's the past. It blew off. So the past is in the past. Thanks, Johnny. Thank you, sir. The past. Some of us, you know, the Bible, God is not afraid of your past. You can bring that past into your Christianity and say, Lord, help me. And then, like I said, bitterness. Yes, you were hurt. You were wounded. You were offended. And again, you don't have to pretend in Christianity like that bitterness doesn't exist. You bring it into the water. You deal with it. Amen. The Lord never asked you to lie about your reality. He asked you to bring who you were in, and he'll help you live a new life. But not bringing it in is what's going to destroy you. Amen. Now, let's talk about this for a second. For many of us, before Jesus looked a lot like this, where you had all kinds of baggage. You looked like a mom of triplets trying to come to church on a Sunday morning. Okay? And so we get this part where the Lord says, I'll take you just as you are, your bitterness, your past, your addictions, your sins, and all that stuff. And we get this part, come into the water, and you can let the Lord take them off of you, and you can just be free. Isn't that great? That's a beautiful picture of being saved. That's a beautiful picture of what Jesus is intending for our lives. But here's the thing. Bags are not just handed to us before Christianity. Bags are constantly being handed to us even after we've been placed in Christ. You see, someone's going to hand you an opportunity to be bitter again. It's one thing to say deal with your past bitterness, but again, as a believer, someone's going to hand me a bag of bitterness at some point in my journey before heaven. Is that true or is that not true? But now, I don't have to deal with bitterness like I used to deal with bitterness on my own. Now, as a believer, as immersed in Christ, someone hands me bitterness, I now have the capacity to know what to do with this bitterness, and I don't have to deal with it on my own. I can take this bitterness, and I can present it and plunge it into the waters of my relationship with Jesus, and to say, Lord, help me to forgive beyond my capacity to forgive. Help me to move ahead beyond my capacity to move ahead, because I am not doing it in my own strength. I am in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have been made new. I am not leaving my position in Christ. I'm not getting out of this baptism tank no matter what the devil wants. I'm not going to let this bitterness draw me out of my relationship. I'm going to bring this bitterness into my reality of where I am with Jesus, and I'm going to let the greater one who is in me overcome he who is in the world. Do you see what I'm saying? You see, we have the capacity. We will be handed bags, opportunity. For more sin is going to come our way. It's still going to come your way, but now you're dealing with it in Christ. And so now that sin doesn't look as big. It doesn't look like it has mastery over you, because it doesn't, because you see yourself now in Christ. And you may sin, but again, you take that sin immediately. What do I do? What do I do when I'm handed a bag? What do I do when I'm handed a bag? I'll tell you what I do. I plunge it into the waters of my relationship with Jesus. That's what I do. I don't get out of the tank. I don't go try to fix it on my own and then say, once I'm fixed, I'll get back in the tank. I deal with everything from the tank. I bring it all in. Are you understanding? I'm doing my best and I'm running out of breath to help you understand what I'm trying to say. I may pass out in this tank, and that's all right, because I'm in a good position. Opportunity for addiction, opportunity for you to create more negative past, opportunity to feel rejected again. Everyone, bags are always going to be presented to you, not just before Jesus, but now you're in a different identity. You're in a different position to deal with and handle all of that stuff. And the point is now that you truly deal with it as it comes. And you don't try to deal with it on your own. You bring it in to your relationship with Jesus. What do I do with this bag? And you say to yourself, I am in Christ. I have power over this bag. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ. He lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, I still live in the flesh, but it's no longer I who live. I put on Christ. Remember, anyone who's baptized into Christ, they put on Christ. All this verbal imagery is here to help you understand you are not alone out there. Your baptism wasn't a one-time event. If you switch the word baptism into immersion, you weren't immersed once and taken out and put back on your own. You were immersed into Christ, and now all that surrounds you, all that you are, your position, your identity is all in Christ. I was crucified with Christ, planted in Christ, buried in Christ. Whatever language the Bible you want to use, it's all the same illustration. I was crucified with Christ, but I still live. I'm still alive. But now this life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. I said in the beginning of the message today that next week we're going to have water baptisms. And if you would like to be water baptized during service, we would love to do that. Just come 15 minutes earlier, contact the office. That would help us as well so we can prepare for whoever. You might say, I've never prayed a prayer to give my heart to Jesus. We can do that today. Or you might say, man, I didn't understand what it meant to give my life to Jesus, and now I do, and I'd like to redo. I'd like a redo. We're going to celebrate life. You know, baptism is both the celebration of the death of the old man, but also the life of the new man. And so we can celebrate the end of something wrong and the victory of something right. Coming into your life. And so next week, we'd love to celebrate with you. So that'll be a great time in service next week. But I want to do something here at the altars to conclude today's service. So you can be baptized next week if you'd like. But today, I want to end a little differently. A second ago, I said you might not have relationship with Jesus, so we're going to want to deal with that before this, and we'll get to that. But I'm going to have everybody in a moment stand. And we have up here pieces of paper that I want you to feel comfortable, because just between you and God, possibly writing some of the baggage or the luggage that you might still have on the shoreline of your life. It could be rejection. It could be sin. It could be bitterness. It could be pride. It could be fear. It could be things that you have not identified in your relationship with Jesus and said, Lord, I confess this to you. Lord, I pray you help me overcome this. And I'm being honest with myself. I'm being honest with you that this remains. Even though I might be a Christian in Christ, these emotions, these thoughts, these sins, these bondages, these addictions, they still remain. And Lord, now I want to bring that into my relationship with you. I want to bring that into my position saying, Lord, now in Christ, I can have peace and confidence that you are going to help me overcome this, that I'm not trying to fix it on my own and then try to prove to you I can fix it, but rather as a child, I'm bringing my broken toy, my broken life, and that baggage and saying, Jesus, here it is. Help me fix this. Help me overcome this in you, not apart from you, in you. Again, I want to tell you, you never have to be afraid of what you bring into the water. It's the stuff you leave out of the water that ruins you. Now, here's what's going to happen. When you write that out, this is special paper, and we have these little buckets of water like baptism. When you place these images, whatever they might be, bags, luggage in your life, and you write on them, you place them in the water, you give a little swish with the stick, these little pieces of paper disappear and go away. And it's just kind of like a mental picture. When you bring your burden, you bring your bitterness, you bring your fear, you bring your sin, and you bring it into the power of Christ. You bring it into subjection to his authority and his lordship. And you bring his ability into it, and all of a sudden, those chains begin to disappear. All of a sudden, those bags begin to melt away and fade away. And sometimes we need these moments where we pray about it and we have a visualization. You see, that's what baptism was meant to be, a moment of visualization to see what the Lord had done in the Spirit. And so that's what I'm trying to help you do today. You might think, how is that simple little action going to be meaningful? I'll tell you why. Because there's going to be times in your life where that bag tries to come back in front of you and you can remember when you gave it to the Lord and the Lord made it disappear. And the Lord was able to set you free in your mind about that, okay? And so we're going to use this as a moment of faith between you and the Lord to say where you're honest with the Lord about the luggage on the shore, and you're saying, Lord, I now bring that into our relationship and say, Lord, take this from me. I don't need to be embarrassed. I don't need to hide it from you anymore. I need you in Christ to help me be free from this. So why don't we all stand? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray and give you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus if you have not done that. And then they're going to play some music. And while they do that, the altars are going to be open. There's plenty of pens and paper. And as the Lord comes and brings it to your mind of what it might be, and this is all of us, everybody. There's the best of us in this room. You know, you might sit there and think, oh, this is a message for the person that's really an addict to something. But yet some of the best Christians among us are dealing with doubt, unbelief, fear, bitterness, things that we're trying to deal with on our own. And I'm telling you, we don't deal with them on our own. We bring them into our relationship with Christ. Say, Christ, in you, help me overcome this doubt and fear. Help my unbelief. You see what I'm saying? And so while they play some music, the altars are going to be open, and I just want you to have some time with you and the Lord, and you can see yourself bring that into your baptism into Christ and watch that thing disintegrate before your eyes. But before we open up the altars for that, and then there's no official dismissal, you can leave at any point after that. Prayer teams, I want you to enjoy some time of prayer as well. At some point when you're finished between you and Jesus, you can easily go find your way to the side and make yourself available. People may need you later on, but not immediately. We're going to give you some space to pray as well, our prayer teams. But then whenever you feel free to do that, you can make yourselves available for people to get prayer afterwards. But let's all bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment. If today you're in the room and you say, I am not right with the Lord. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. And all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today, if you've not called on the name of the Lord to save you, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Or maybe you say, Pastor Kevin, I gave my life to the Lord a long time ago, but there's been a lot of space between then and now, and I would like to re-give my life to the Lord. I'd like to put myself back in to Christ, immerse myself 100% this time. Would you pray for me again? I would be glad to. And so today, with every head bowed and eye closed, if you say, Pastor Kevin, I want to give my life to Jesus, either for the first time or to rededicate my life to Jesus 100%, would you pray for me? I'm not going to call you to the front, but I'm going to ask you to be brave enough to raise your hand at your seat when I count to three. If that's you and you want to commit your life to Jesus today, on the count of three, raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. Would you raise your hand wherever you might be? There's a hand in the middle, two hands, three hands, four hands, five hands. Anybody else? Six. Anybody else? Seven. Awesome, awesome. Praise God. This is awesome. Awesome. Let's all pray a prayer together. And then we're all going to have some time between us and Jesus at these altars. When you're done praying this prayer, those of you that raised your hand, there's about seven of you on your way out. There's a lit up wooden wall in the back. We have some great volunteers back there. They have Bibles for you. They have resources to help you. But let's all pray this prayer now so they're not praying this prayer alone. Would you repeat this after me? Dear God, I thank you that you see me. just as I am. I realize that I have sinned, and I accept Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that He died for me and that He rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you celebrate those seven that raised their hands? It's pretty awesome. Amen. Now, let me just pray a general dismissing prayer. You're dismissed after this. If you'd like to spend some time doing this activity we talked about, bring your faith, bring your heart, bring your honesty, and let's believe that the Lord is doing something in here to help you see the freedom that He's given you, okay? Let me pray, bless it, and then you're officially dismissed. Lord, I commit this next time to Life Church as they come up here one by one, and they stand before God, and they look at these pieces of paper, and they identify some baggage they've left on the shoreline. Things that either they were guilty or ashamed to talk about or bring in or to be honest about, or things that have been handed to them even recently, opportunities to be hurt, offended, broken, rejected, whatever it might be. And Lord, they're trying to just deal with it, and rather than submitting it to Christ and saying, Lord, You help me. Lord, You free me. Lord, I am not doing this on my own. I bring this into my relationship with Jesus in order to have power over it. Lord, I pray today as they are honest about it that, Lord, there would be just such a backing of the Holy Spirit to fill them with encouragement, to fill them with faith, to set them free, God, as they present it to the Lord. Let this not just be an illustration, Lord, but actually an impartation of great strength and power and faith. And that, God, we actually see the freedom that You've already provided for us as we receive it by faith. We give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. The altars are open. You're officially dismissed.